Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the activity started after his grandfather's death and seemed strangely personal, but was it really his grandfather?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is, and thank you very much for listening. We sure do appreciate it. We would also really appreciate it if you would share your real ghost stories with us. So if you've got one, call it in at 855-853-4802. If you're like, ooh, can't do that, then write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Certainly you could do that. And you could become a premium subscriber. You get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Do that by signing up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is here.
I sure am. How's it going?
Pretty good. I came across this story the other day on my phone about this girl who she booked an Airbnb in Kentucky for its charm. And then she found out after booking the property, it had long ties to paranormal investigations. And so
Most people
booked it to do paranormal investigations. And she's like, oh, this looks historic and cute. And so she booked it. And then I don't think she even spent the night. And it was, and I'm going to see if I can get a hold of these people and maybe do a Grave Talks episode. But it's the Grand Victorian Inn in Park City, Kentucky. And it has a history that includes reports of hearing footsteps and voices with no clear source. So in her video, she said guests and staff have occasionally reported strange occurrences. Once they get there, they find out that it is haunted. Apparently, the inn's original founder died on the property. It also sits near railroad tracks, which is also kind of a conduit. The outlet has reported that around 80 funerals were held inside this inn. It also operated as a nursing home, during which 13 deaths were reported on the site. So they got to the hotel, then they realized all of this, and then they left 45 minutes later. They didn't even stay. But I think it also had some weird things. Oh, yeah. This is what cracked me up. You will laugh at this. She said, I think because we were like the only people here and we were walking around the house, we found like a doll collection. There's Abraham Lincoln everywhere. I'm like, oh my God, she would hate my house. So after all of that, they just couldn't do it and they left. So you I don't know. I think because you and I rented an Airbnb in Iowa and it was kind of creepy. Like I remember we pulled up at night and I'm like, no way, we're staying at this place.
And was that like, the apartment above?
Yes. And like the building itself was probably built, what, like late 1800s, 1870s?
Maybe mid-1800s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like it had originally been a general store, probably a saloon. There was a bar at one end. Below us was an empty building. But the
it was one of those old, really you know, cool buildings that, with the storefront on it. You know, like you could tell that it was from, you know, way bygone days. Yeah, I was expecting to have something happen there, but nothing did to me.
Nothing did to me. And it was really cute. Like they had it really fixed up nice. Mm-hmm. And it was super comfortable. And we had a king bed, so you and I just shared the bed because there was plenty of room for both our dogs and you and me. But it was, I didn't think I'd be able to stay there. I'm like, this is so creepy because it just looked like a haunted building.
Yeah.
But we stayed there and made it work. But I also get why you could, I think the doll collection, the Abe Lincolns, I'd be like, okay, this is cool. This is a sign I should stay here. But the doll collection, I don't know about that.
Well,
it's a haunted Airbnb. You know, some of those are haunted dolls.
Well, but it's so haunted that people do paranormal investigations there. That's to me kind of like on a different level. Of just, I'm going to stay in this place and sometimes, you know, it's weird or whatever. It's so creepy. People pay to go there to do investigations. That's, you know, that's a whole different level.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I get why she would leave.
I have a feeling, and I have a feeling I know the answer to this question, but would you have stayed if you didn't know going in, but once you got there, you found out?
The doll collection might have run me out the door.
Yeah, the doll collection would have been rough for sure.
The Abe Lincolns, but I would be like, this is pretty cool. These people are into like Abe Lincoln. I like Abe Lincoln. I have Abe Lincolns in my house.
It might be close to the birthplace of Abe Lincoln.
Oh,
right?
Possibly,
he was born in Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, so there might be a good reason, you know, to have Abe Lincoln stuff everywhere, other than he was just a great president, you know. Other than that, my thing would be, it's haunted enough. People are paying you to stay here for that reason.
But I don't think she knew that until she looked it up. She's getting creeped out. And I don't know how she actually discovered that. She probably Googled it and then read some reviews or something.
Yeah.
Because lot of times, anyway, you read a review and it gives you no good information, because this review hates it, this review loves it, this review hates it, this review loves it. So I find reviews aren't always good information.
Don't you think, though, that that should have to be disclosed?
Seems like it. But, you know, maybe this place is like, we just do paranormal investigations. We didn't think anybody would not notice. Maybe if you just would have opened your eyes, it's right there. So I don't know. But I'm going to see if I can get a hold of the location and do an episode. That'd be kind of interesting to me. Let's go to this phone call.
Hey, guys. My name's Sean, and I just found your website and your podcast. Got so many stories I could tell. One, when I was very young, growing up in a house in New Orleans, one in college, but really nothing has happened paranormal-wise for me in the last 15 years or so. But the one that really stands out involves when I was about 15 years old, my grandfather, who I was very close with, was living with us at the time when he passed away in September. I believe it was 1997. A couple weeks after my grandfather died, my mother and I went to go pick up dinner at a local fast food chicken place. And when we were at the drive-thru, we pull up to the drive-thru window, and an older gentleman, a little older than you usually see working at a fast food place, probably in his 60s or 70s, told us, hey, don't forget your onion rings. Well, that might not sound like a big deal to some people, but that was pretty significant to us, because my parents never bought onion rings. Onion rings was something my grandfather would just get for me when we went to this particular place. It was kind of our thing. So we thought that was kind of strange that this old man said, hey, don't forget your onion rings, and didn't charge us for it. Mother and I got to thinking about it, and we went back the next day, or a few days later, to thank the guy. We asked the manager, and they said that nobody there fit that description, which we thought was odd. We know that happened, but, you know, that's just a strange thing that happened. And again, really didn't bring up it again after that. But again, that was in September of that year. In December of that year, my family and I were sitting in our den watching TV. And, of course, Christmas, holidays, an ornament flew across the room. Didn't just fall, it flew. Again, kind of chalked it up to that was strange, but didn't really pay much attention to it. 2 days after Christmas, my grandfather's room was turned into a playroom, entertainment room for the kids. We had one of the new video game systems. I don't remember what it was at the time, but it was the newest one we got for Christmas. My brother and cousin had slept in the room the night before, and when we woke up the next day, they said, Sean, you got to come here. You got to check out what's happening. So they had the video game system, and they were saying, Gran, which is what we call my grandfather, if you're here, change the channel. Well, they did, and the channels on the TV would change. I saw the remote in my brother's lap. I said, you guys are doing it. Well, they handed it to me, and the same thing happened. Well, this happened for a few minutes. We called my parents in there, and we said, you know, Gran, if you're here, change the channel, and nothing happened. So they thought, of course, bunch of kids, we made this up. About an hour later, my parents were in the den, And all of a sudden, the channels started changing on the TV in our den. You know, we went in there and was like, this is extremely strange what's going on. What made it even stranger was it's one of those things where everybody knows you have a you can have a TV for your remote, but also a TV for your cable or satellite dish. Well, we had one for the cable box, but we didn't have one for the TV, but the TV channels were changing. Well, they kept changing, kept changing. I remember the NFL playoff game was on, so my dad was rather upset, as was I, that the game kept changing. Well, what really got our attention was you could only plug in two numbers to that TV, and we had 66 came up, then 6 right after that. We were all kind of creeped out by that. My dad's brother came over, very, very, very religious guy, came over, started praying, had his Bibles, even speaking in tongues, and really nothing happened after that. To add to that story, the remote to the TV, we found out, again, you couldn't change the channels on the TV unless you went up and did it. It was changing by itself. The remote for that TV was across town in storage in one of my grandfather's sweaters. Again, incredibly strange, and I'm not saying my grandfather, you know, I'm pretty sure he was a very religious man. I'm sure he went to the right place, but somebody was messing with this. Incredibly strange that happened. My mom, I've never felt anything in that house, but my mom says she feels my grandfather's presence from time to time. My sister, little sister, she said growing up, I'm a little bit older than them. She said that she'd feel his presence from time to time. My mom feels some discomfort, is sad and down. She'll feel a hand on her shoulder. So, you know, you've seen the good, you've seen the bad. Either way, it's been a strange story that's we've shared, I guess, now the last 15 or 16 years with my family. I've got some more from when I was in college going to a haunted house, another one when I was growing up in New Orleans as a young child. But again, I appreciate your show. Thanks.
I think it's interesting because the onion rings thing seems like grandpa. You know, yeah. Don't forget your onion rings. Then they go back. We don't have anybody who works here like that. That feels like grandpa. Then at the end, like the uncle comes over and feels it so demonic, like they're cleansing the house and blessing the house. That yeah. doesn't feel like the same thing.
Well, or maybe the uncle just misinterprets it.
Because maybe you know, the six six thing,
I think probably threw him.
Maybe grandpa was trying to do 2-2-2. And accidentally did 666, and he's like, oh, dang it. Now well, I got him all freaked out.
You know, I once again, I'm not convinced that these three numbers are unlocking the mysteries of everything demonic. It's associated with that in lore, but I'm not totally convinced. I think the bigger story here is that possibly, you know, something was there. Something was changing it. Something was interfering with signals or transmissions or transmitters or something, right? That there was definitely something happened. The boys saw it first, brought, you know, him in the room. Look at this. This is weird, but it won't do it for the parents. So everybody ignores it. But then it starts doing it over here. And so then they sort of believe it.
Maybe the whole thing was grandpa. And then, like I said, the 6666 thing was accidental. Didn't mean to do that. And then he's like, whoopsie. Yeah. But the uncle might have been the one who really stirred this shit up. Maybe the family would have been like, hey, it's pretty sweet. He's just trying to contact us. Because, you know, changing the channel is a pretty common thing.
Yeah.
The onion ring thing, that was interesting to me.
Yeah, I think so too. And I feel like it was the grandfather's presence, that there was something going on. So I don't feel like it was a bad presence. I really don't. I think he made himself known. And then later, mom and sister both say, you know, sometimes I feel like he's here.
Well, then the uncle went and cleansed him out.
Yeah.
Uncle came over. Grandpa's long gone now.
We're not going to have any of this shit in here. We're getting them all out of here.
We're getting rid of Grandpa. Cleanse his damn house.
Oh,
I think it's super sweet. Like, that was their place too, where he got onion rings with grandpa. And so that whole thing, hey, you forgot your onion rings. They're free.
How do you think that works?
I have no idea.
Because I'm trying to wrap my head around that. Because this is more than seeing an apparition. They're actually physically handing you things.
Well, it almost makes me think that in a weird way, like somebody handed them the onion rings. They were like compelled to, here's some onion rings. And so when they looked, they don't see that person. They actually see the apparition. But they're being handed the onion rings by an actual person.
That's what I was wondering. If there wasn't something to the person, but they saw through that there was this other entity in there that was kind of controlling how it was, you know, that you were going to get onion rings. Because it's weird. Like they said, we don't have anybody that looks like that working here. So how did that work? Well, the only thing I can figure is you saw it. It kind of inhabited that.
Inhabited.
That person.
But you might
more
just...
I feel like it's a projection from you guys, you know. But, that you saw it.
But it maybe it is an apparition, that maybe there's a way that you can see one thing that isn't really there.
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like to think it was Grandpa giving you some onion rings.
I 100% think it was. I don't see any other reason it wasn't.
Well, here is our next story. It says, I've been listening for a while. I wanted to send this in. It happened when my daughter was little. She's an adult now and remembers being afraid of the house we lived in back then. But she doesn't remember the one thing about it that I remember most. She was about 6 when we moved in. It wasn't an old house that would make you think it was haunted. It was a family home in a quiet neighborhood, and we were happy there. My husband worked long hours at the time, so there were lots of evenings when it was just me and the kids. My daughter started having trouble sleeping not too long after we moved in. At first, I thought it was because her room was upstairs and farther away from ours than she was used to. She would come into our room in the middle of the night and say she didn't like being alone up there, or she would fall asleep on the floor beside our bed. I tried all of the normal things. Night lights, leaving her door open, checking under the bed, making sure the closet was closed. Sometimes it helped, sometimes it didn't. Then she started talking about a man. The first time she mentioned him, it was casual. In fact, I almost missed what she was saying. She said the man had been standing by her bedroom door again, and I asked, what man? And she looked at me like I should know what she meant. She said, the man in the hallway. I asked what he looked like, and she said he was older, had gray hair, wore dark clothes. She didn't know his name. She didn't say he talked to her or played with her. As far as I could tell, he mostly just stood near the hallway or outside her room. What confused me was she was not afraid of him. She was afraid of plenty of other things in that room. She would tell me she heard something near the closet or thought somebody had touched the blankets. Every once in a while, she said she saw something dark move past the doorway, but whenever she talked about the man, she was completely calm. I didn't want to encourage the idea that she was seeing ghosts, but I also didn't want to tell her she was imagining everything if she was genuinely frightened. So I mostly listened and tried not to make a big deal out of it. Around that same time, I started noticing things in the house too. I would hear footsteps upstairs when the kids were downstairs with me. A bedroom door would be open when I knew I had closed it. Sometimes late at night after everyone was asleep, I would hear movement from my daughter's room that sounded like someone walking from one side of the room to the other. There were enough little things that I stopped being quite as quick to tell myself she was only having dreams. One night, my husband was working late and I was downstairs watching TV. After the kids had gone to bed, I heard my daughter crying upstairs. Not screaming. Just that scared kind of crying when you know a child is trying not to make too much noise. I got up, started toward the stairs, and before I made it all the way up, I heard footsteps in the hallway above me. For a second, I actually thought my husband must have come home early, and somehow I hadn't heard him. but that wasn't possible. He was not home. The footsteps moved down the hallway toward my daughter's room. I stopped on the stairs and listened, and my daughter was still crying. The footsteps stopped, and a few seconds later, she stopped crying. I went upstairs as fast as I could. I went into her room. She was sitting up in bed, and I asked what was wrong, and she said she had been scared, but she wasn't anymore because the man came. I remember standing there looking at her, not even knowing what to say. I can't imagine. It's like, oh, good. Okay, I'm going back to my program. I checked the hallway in the other rooms, even though I knew nobody was there. All the windows were closed. The doors downstairs were locked. My husband was still at work. That was in the night I stopped thinking of the man as an imaginary friend. My daughter would occasionally have another bad night, but whenever she said the man had been there, she settled down almost immediately. Whatever frightened her seemed to stop when he showed up. I never saw him clearly myself. Once I thought I saw somebody move past the end of the hallway, but it happened so quickly that I could have been mistaken. I did hear those heavier footsteps a few more times, always upstairs and usually around her room. I wish I could say I felt comforted by that, but I didn't. I was still a mother with a six-year-old telling me there was an older man standing outside her bedroom at night. Even if she wasn't afraid of him, I was. At the same time, I started feeling like maybe there was more than one thing going on in that house. Whatever made my daughter afraid did not feel the same as a man she talked about. She never said he scared her, never said he came too close, never asked me to make him go away. She seemed to trust him. We lived there for a few more years, and the strange activity came and went. There were stretches when nothing happened. Then my daughter would have another bad night, or I would hear footsteps upstairs when nobody was there. Eventually, my husband changed jobs, and it made sense for us to live closer to where he was working. And after we moved, my daughter slept normally. She stopped talking about the man, and after a while, I stopped thinking about him. Years later, when she was in her 20s, she mentioned that house, and she said she remembered being scared of her bedroom there. And I asked her if she remembered the man in the hallway, and she had no idea what I was talking about. At first, I thought she was joking because she had talked about him so much when she was little. I reminded her how she used to describe him, where she said he stood, how she would sometimes tell me he had come when she was scared. None of it sounded familiar to her. She remembered coming into our bedroom at night. She remembered being afraid of the closet. She even remembered sleeping on the floor beside our bed, but she did not remember him. I have no idea who he was. We never found an older family picture or anything like that. Maybe there was a good explanation for some of what happened, but I heard the footsteps go down the hallway that night and then hearing my daughter say the man had come. I've always believed there was something else in that house with us. And if there was something there frightening my little girl, I also believe there may have been something else looking out for her. Thanks for letting me share this. My daughter still thinks it's strange that I remember someone from her childhood that she doesn't remember at all. I'm actually kind of glad she forgot him because whatever else was going on in that house seems to have stayed there when we left. Love the show, Mariah. I think that's interesting too because she was really afraid. And then once this man started showing up, she seemed to be okay. Like, she was scared. She was sleeping in a room and she was crying.
Yeah.
And the man got to her and then she's like, oh, but he came and I'm okay now. It is like there were two things in that house.
You know, when we were growing up, I always said the same thing about that house we lived in. There seemed to be something protecting us and then something that was evil. So I do think, why not? Why couldn't you have two different things in the house? I'm questioning whether this was a protective spirit guide that was sent there to protect her. She was very afraid of something. You know, being so little and that afraid, something's going on. And so I'm just kind of wondering if this is a protective guide spirit that she had and maybe still has. She's just grown out of being able to see him like she could when she was a kid. I just wonder if he's still around her.
I don't know. It's interesting that she doesn't remember that at all, but remembers everything else, like being afraid of the closet, sleeping on the floor, all that stuff, but doesn't remember that this presence came to her and calmed her down.
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
I think she's got a protective spirit that's there and is still there.
And I wonder if it's just something that was attached with the house. There was something scary there. And whatever it was also there. Because she doesn't seem to have had experiences since, but she hasn't been that terrified since. Maybe there's been no reason for anything.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, if you have a real ghost story and you would like to share that story with us, we would love that. We would appreciate that. You can call it in, leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And wherever you are listening, we would appreciate it if you would hit subscribe. That would mean a lot. So thank you very much. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.